Welcome, welcome everyone to the Bhakti Talk podcast, where we discuss the spiritual path through the wisdom ways and practices of our beloved guru, Swami Premadaya. We are your hosts.
Got you by the throat.
Yes, we are your hosts, Ananda Dev and Swami Sky. The Bhakti Talk podcast is presented by the International Centers of Divine Awakening. Visit our website at i-coda.org. Be sure to subscribe, watch us on YouTube, and find us on all social media platforms at Bhakti Talk Podcast. Today, I am very excited because I love this subject. Today, we are going to discuss creativity and spirituality. In fact, we love this subject so much, we are going to make it a two-part episode. This episode, we will share our own creative and artistic endeavors, as well as the teachings of our Gurudev Swami Premadaya, who happens to be an artist himself. In part two, we will invite some of our fellow disciples who are artists and get their perspectives on creativity and spirituality. And today, you, Swami Sky, to start off, you are a painter, I'm a performance artist, but before we talk about our own practices and our own understandings regarding art, creativity, and spirituality, let's dive into our guru's teaching.
Swami's yeah, mind. One of the things that's such a blessing on due to Swami Premadaya's teaching work is for a number of years, he gave weekly, even at one point, bi-weekly spiritual discourse. And Swamiji has covered every topic in such a, he is the practical guru. We lovingly refer to Swami Premadaya as the practical guru because his teachings and understandings are practical. His part of his mission has always been one thing, to make himself available to people spiritually. But in making himself available to people spiritually, his teaching work has always been very, very practical in that it is very, very effective. And so he had this series of spiritual discourse with Swami Premadaya. And one of the topics he covered is creativity and spirituality. So we definitely want to talk about that today. We also want to let people know that that teaching work, all those spiritual discourses are available entirely free. ICODA's with International Centers of Divine Awakening, founded by Swami Premadaya. Swami Premadaya's teaching work is all collected into a spiritual wisdom library, which is accessible entirely for free on PremadayaTV.com.
You can also PremadayaTV.com.
Yes, that's right. You can also find links to that on our website, i-coda.org. But that's the, if you get nothing else from our enjoyable spiritual banter and our good time that we get to share with each other, this spiritual wisdom library of Swami Premadaya's teaching work is completely available on PremadayaTV.com.
And there's also all the excerpts on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Those are also great introductions, and even more than introductions, deepenings, introductions, however you want to put it. They're all amazing.
Wisdom. Spiritual
yeah.
Wisdom transmissions, practical understandings for yes. The spiritual seeker. Absolutely. And I remember when I first heard this discourse, which is from the 7th of January, 2015. If you're looking for that specifically on PremadayaTV.com, it's in the 7th. Spiritual Discourse 7, January 2015, called Creativity and Spirituality. So that's why we titled this two-part episode the same, Creativity and Spirituality, because it's so rich, such a rich understanding. When I first heard this, it took me a long time to get as much as I've gotten now. And I watched it again today, and I still got way more.
Yeah. Same here. Because also I realized listening is also creative. And because you made a good point before we started, when we were talking, you said, like, this is a very important point I want to make. And that is?
That the approach to, when we hear the word creativity, our societies globally, pretty much, I've traveled enough to know that this is the flavor pretty much everywhere you go, but it's certainly the flavor in the US and Europe, that creativity is for a select slice of people. It's a type of person. Creativity equals, you know, people who paint, people who dance, people who are performance artists, people who act, you know, what society has called the arts. And, you know, in America, we've pretty much removed the arts from the schools. Now, if you want the arts, you have to go to an arts school. And, you know, from public school, we basically removed the arts. So we think of creativity as the arts. And part of Swamiji's teaching in this creativity and spirituality, spiritual discourse that is so rich is no, life is a creative endeavor. Mm-hmm. Everything, this very moment and the response to this very moment mm-hmm. is done creatively. Because mm-hmm. if it's not done creatively, then it's programmed. So that it's the way that we structure, the way that we create a society removes creativity from life, from living. And you go into this routine programmed existence. Yeah. And then you're told that creativity is reserved for a select group of people. And none of that's the case. Life is a creative affair. The Swamiji says, you know, the response to this moment, it's so alive. This moment's so alive. Mm-hmm. And this moment's all that there is. Yeah. It's just, so you, in order to progress on the spiritual path, in order to grow spiritually, which is part of Swamiji's teaching, you must understand and you must live creatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also one of the points our guru is constantly making is also decondition. Mm-hmm. Because yes. conditioning and conditioned behavior is all about preset. Everything is preset, whether it's following rules, whether it's just a habit, it's all preset. No creativity is needed to right. live a preset life. And the spiritual life, also in this discourse, Swamiji explains it beautifully, a spiritual life is inherently a creative life, because relating to people, responding to people, actual, real relating is creative. It's spontaneous. He also, in this discourse, he speaks about spontaneity also a lot. It's impossible to be spontaneous without being creative. Spontaneous is creative.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why indigenous cultures and very old cultures refer to the creator. It's like, mm-hmm. it's not the what we turn that image into. Most yeah. of us are conditioned into thinking of, you know, some sort of Wizard of Oz figure that's pulling levers. And, you know, it's the better understanding is the aliveness of this very moment and the how alive and creative. I mean, even when you plant a rose, you know, you're going to get a rose, but you don't know what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. It's still, it really is, you know, every snowflake is unique. Every human being is unique. That's like aliveness. The mm-hmm. life itself is so teeming with creativity. To limit that to people who you know, draw is so it's putting a lid on all of life. Life is a creative. We were talking about this earlier. If you take a footballer mm-hmm. and if you take two athletes, and because now we have the science to truly train somebody at the peak performance, to every at the top of the top of the top, and the person who's always gonna win is the person who has, I said heart and creativity, but we'll say at least creativity, because if you've trained that far, you got to have some heart. So we won't diminish it by that, but it's that creativity that sets apart. It's, you know, because most people don't think of athletes as creative, but they are. Mm-hmm. It's all, yep. It's a creative, it seems to me that we should play a section of this video right now, because absolutely. It's just so rich and I love yep. hearing Guruji speak. So yes. We'll share with you right now the, I was about to stand up as if Guruji's walking in the room, but for a disciple, that's the case. That's what it feels like. So let me share with you right now this section of this video, Creativity and Spirituality, Spiritual Discourse from Swami Premadaya from the 7th of January, 2015.
The spiritual approach itself, the spiritual focus itself is the creative approach. And if you don't think of it this way, and you probably don't, then I'm recommending you change the way you think of it and fold that into it. That to live a actually successfully get somewhere spiritual life, advance spiritually, grow spiritually, you must bring creativity into the mix. You must figure out, learn, and practice how to live creatively. Your spiritual life is a work of art. Your spiritual life is your creative canvas, is your creative arena. If you aren't living it with a sense of creating it, of creativity as a factor, then you're not doing everything you can do or doing your best to really get the most out of it and make the most out of it. You're not making the most out of it until you recognize, until you realize the creative aspect of spiritual life, the creative necessity that spiritual life literally implies. So let me give you my spiritual definition of creativity, which is not a negation of any ordinary definition of that word. It's just an expansion. So the real creativity, and it includes all artistic endeavor and creative endeavor, the real creativity is the willingness and ability to respond to any given situation with the maximum awareness you can bring to bear in that moment, both inner and outer, awareness of yourself and awareness of the circumstances. In other words, your response, your spontaneous response to every moment of life or to a particular moment of life is the creative response. Not a preset response, not a, I did it 100 times this way, so I'm doing it again this way. It is the alive response to this moment and the circumstances of this moment. And that is about as creative, about as high a creative challenge as you can ever set. Because you have to really bring real creativity to bear, whatever else you're bringing to bear, awareness, perception, intelligence, consciousness. If you leave out creativity, if you're not consciously bringing in the creative element, you are not giving yourself every benefit of how to live this moment. You're leaving out the part that gives you wings. You're leaving out the part that allows you to make something more, make the maximum of it, make it juicier, make it fuller. That's an art. It's a creative art. It's living art. It's performance art. So.
Well, that's got to be the right place to stop.
Yeah. Now, wow.
First of all, Guruji, I love listening to Guruji because each time I get so much out of it, and I hear so much, and I can't wait to jump into just that few minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did mention performance art.
Yeah.
And you are a performance artist. So I want to hear your experience about moving through the world. One of the things about creativity and certainly talking to other artists is finding out how fascinating it is that they move through the world. Some people move through the world. They see, you know, light, they see color. In fact, one of the things that I immediately thought of hearing Guruji speak again was a woman who was she was expressing how stuck she was. I'm stuck. I'm so stuck in my creativity. I'm so stuck in my art. And Guruji said, well, I have a feeling that your creativity is coming out in other ways, maybe not in the ways that you would like or you prefer, that you're working on. And she went on to say, well, I went for a walk this morning and there was these magenta. And she just started describing the way that the light and the colors hit every tree and rock in the sky and the way. And she just painted a picture with words, because that's how she moves through life. Everything she sees is living, alive art. And one of the things that happens, even for those who are quote unquote in creative fields, is they get a very rigid structure about what their creativity should look like, how it should come out. If I'm not producing artworks, I'm not being creative. And it's like, no, it's your life. It's your living. It's what you're doing right now. So even the creative field, quote unquote, creative fields, the artistic fields can be very stuck and lost in ideas of shoulds and structures and, well, this is art and this isn't. And Guruji gives that definition of art as well, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, because you said this now, again, I heard this discourse many times, but even this excerpt, hearing it again now, I heard something new. And that is also so beautiful about the guru, about the teaching.
And also, about the seeker, the spiritual seeker, the disciple, the serious practitioner, whatever you want to call it. We always forget it's you who changes.
Yes.
It's this moment that's alive, and that's all that's alive. And you're alive in this moment. So you hear something different every time too.
And that is, again, that's the whole topic. Even listening is creative, because it's in the moment. And what I heard now, also what you said now in the end, also the spiritual path, the spiritual work, being a disciple, that in itself is creative. And what we tend to do, what many people tend to do, it's something that came up in our Sangha not so long ago, more specifically, how it's not about rules. It's not about laws. It's about you, your individual path, your creativity, your, of course, everyone does the sadhana, and everyone carves.
Do they now?
Well, okay.
Of course, people hopefully are looking, people who are entering into a particular spiritual practice, they're certainly given the practice, whether they do it or not.
Yes. And at the same time, you do the practice or not, and you carve your own, it's you, and it's your creativity. And oftentimes when we just cut out our creativity because we think this is the rule and this is what we should and or shouldn't, then we cut off ourselves also.
Right. Rules are for organizing people in traffic.
It's just
the way to create structure in order to organize. You know, you driving creatively is not, it's best, you know, there's lanes and there's lights and there's signals, and those are the rules of the road. Yeah. Those are the way to organize, but that's not your life. That's just driving. That's a very practical, realistic approach. And then there's, you know, other places, they don't have those rules. The rule is it's more of a flow. If you look at India traffic at any time, it's not the same. It's just a structure for organizing, but a structure for organizing doesn't determine life, and it has no way defines who you are. Yeah. But what we do now is we define ourselves by arbitrary made up things.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're far richer. You're far bigger than any of that. And that creativity, I love when Guruji's talking about the response, because it also reminds me of the teaching of what is a guru. A guru ultimately could be just if it was a simple practical definition, is a response function. As Guruji, it's part of Guruji's teaching work. I didn't come up with that on my own, but I've seen it for myself, that the primary aspect of what is a guru, it's a response. It's an alive response function on your spiritual path. You know, it's like you don't just the guru, you know, that heart call, you know, that's your response. And then you're basically the call back is, hey, this is my guru. And then the guru responds, you know, it's, and then the guru, even the guru disciple relationship, like everything else, but like the guru disciple relationship is an entire individual. It's a one-to-one relationship. Even there might be thousands of disciples. There might be 10, there might be one, but it's still completely unique that that relationship is. So even within the structure of spiritual practice or religious life, or, you know, many, many practices, many paths have lots of structures, lots of different, you know, you could say rules, but requirements. Mm-hmm. I really like Guruji's explanation on rules. It's like rules are, you know, if this happens, then there's a consequence. And, you know, like that's worldly stuff for arranging things. It is entirely an individual affair, and every path is exactly the same, meaning all roads go to the same place, but it's completely unique to you.
And relating, responding. Towards the end of this creativity and spirituality discourse, Gurudev says, if you're wondering, if you don't know what to do, if you don't know how to be more creative, ask yourself, this is the solution, ask yourself one question: what would love do? And I get that in this interaction we just had now, more, yes, it's about responding, it's about relating, and what is love? It's giving and taking. Actually, I had an encounter with a musician today, and we were talking, she was talking about her music, and when we were talking, I said, it's all, actually all we do as artists, whether it's a musician or a performance artist, well, we will hear a musician talk in episode 2, it's all about embracing. It's just because you asked me the question, it's interesting how every different artist sees the world differently. I want to hear about you more when you talk about colors. I told you when we first were discussing this, I told you, well, for me, everything is theater, but it's actually more basic than that. It's play. Everything is play, playfulness, and also the embracing. Embracing is very important. It's giving, it's taking, it's playing together the whole time. Also, very important. In acting, in performance art, the here now, when Guruji was talking, it's always about here now. It's just about this moment. There's no past, no future. It's always about this moment, because creativity is now. It's only now. So it's the more I hear Guruji speak, and it's almost like creativity and spirituality are, they're not the same word, but they are so intertwined.
You can't separate them. They might not be the same word, but you also can't separate them. That creativity and spirituality are part. It's one thing. It really is, to, as he says, you, to grow spiritually, you must understand and live creatively.
Yeah. And in performance art, it's being true. Once again, in this moment, it's saying the truth in this moment, and it's actually also about going beyond, because in being here now, there's also a disappearing going on. As an actor or performer, that has always been my aim, actually, and I became very, very quickly aware of that. It's like, when I'm not there, then it's always better.
Well, it's certainly more alive, more, you know, because and you tell us whether this is what you mean. When you say I'm not there, you're usually, when I'm there, there's usually some sort of, it means I'm in my head.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely. There means I'm in my head. There's some sort of analysis going on. I'm having a thought about this. Is this coming across okay? What am I going to say next? It's a way of like you were saying, listening is creative. That would be a way of not listening, because what you're listening to is the stuff in your own head. And so when you say, if I'm not there, I hear that as when I'm not in my own head. Or, you know, again, I like to refer to other endeavors like athletes or somebody even giving a speech. It's if you're in, they call it being in this moment, being in the flow. You're saying, when I'm not there, when I'm out of my head, when I'm alive and present, when I'm really listening, and then I'm really responding, then it's the creativity is just part of the flow of it.
I even now in this moment I remember when it first happened in theater school, I afterwards thought, like, oh my god, I messed up completely. I don't know what happened. I don't know what I did. I probably forgot many lines, and everyone loved it. It was like, we never seen this from you. This was it. Do you know what you did? And I was like, nope, I don't know what I did. So, but that was my first on a stage, like, here now, beyond moment, the moment we're always working towards and looking for.
So I want to go back just a moment or so to, because I think it's a beautiful definition of creativity, and it's one that people can certainly understand and tap into, which is that life is play. Life is, you must mature entirely. You must be responsible yourself. You must, you know, to live your and grow in your spiritual life requires a kind of determination and a self-reliability. But none of those things say that I should be over serious. In fact, one of Guruji's core teachings is cheerful optimism is the only and right attitude on the spiritual path. So life as play, as really kind of taps, because play is a kind of creativity. Everybody can think of that when you think of play or playfulness or go outside and play. It's a kind of creativity, and relating to others gets so just heavy and weighted down and bogged down with idea and after idea, after belief, after, you know, projections and all these concepts of you're supposed to act this way and I act this way and this is right and this is wrong, and all of that just becomes heavier and heavier and heavier to the point where you can't move anymore. And the playfulness that life is a play gives you the flavor of creativity, life as creativity, that I really like that. I think that people could tap into that very easily. It's the over seriousness that brings a deadening to life, no question.
Yeah. And that is also why kids are so alive, because they're always ready to play. As an adult, when you approach a kid and you make this, it's an immediate agreement you make. Like, they immediately know, like, you want to play?
Do you want to play?
I want to play. And if you, because it depends. Some people, some kids, when you approach them, they think like, adult. But when you just make one joke or just make it clear, like, hey, I'm here to play, they're like, okay, let's go. So, and
I've gotten to spend a quality time with our beloved 4-year-old. And she just has no problem going, you know, it doesn't, it's just immediately like, hey, do you want to play? Do you want to go outside and play? Do you want to help me put my toys away? That'll be, we'll have fun doing that. So everything is just this and has no hesitation to go, do you want to play now? But, and if you don't, well, why? And how soon can you?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love it. It's so enriching. And yeah. I make sure she knows that I'm here to play.
So tell
me more about how you so you go through and, you know, because some of this has to, if this is the only way, I'll with your permission, I'll speak directly, because you also had to figure out how to move in a society that doesn't have this attitude. Most adults are dead serious. And luckily you live somewhere where they at least acknowledge that art exists, and they acknowledge that performance art is a worthy art, a worthy expression. So it's a little bit supported, but you're still moving in and of a world who's basically saying, no, I don't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to grow up and mature and but not lose.
Yeah.
You know, we all have to still, you know, live as adults and take care of what we take care of. Some people hear, oh, play is mean I can be irresponsible. And that's not what we're saying at all. We're saying behind, you know, every interaction, this aliveness is here, just like a flower is here to bloom. A human being is here to play. It is supposed to be fun. Work is supposed to be fun. You know, interacting with another human, even when you really don't like it and it's unpleasant, behind it is supposed to be a quality of playfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, what helps with everything, relax. You cannot play when you're not relaxed.
Right.
When you're not relaxed and like, oh, and the non-relaxation can mean many things. Like, oh, what do they think of me? Oh, what should I do in this moment? What do they expect from me? Like, I don't like them. Oh, are they dangerous? Am I dangerous? Well, it's all these unrelaxed thoughts, basically, that take you immediately out of play. And I just noticed for myself, like, the more relaxed I am, the more... And play doesn't mean, because that has always also been a trap for me. Oftentimes, like, oh, I have to do something, or I have to be entertaining. Or it's not about that. It's just being relaxed, and nothing has to happen. You can be very playful, just sitting and watching people. That can be very, very, very playful for everyone. That it doesn't have to look a certain way. That is also the whole creativity, spirituality, spontaneity. Nothing has to look a certain way. That is something we're also very, with the rules, we're also very conditioned into. Things have to look a certain way, have to be a certain way. And it's not the case. Like, anything can look like anything.
Yeah. That's all that is the programming and the shoulds and it has to, and what is this, but and control and fear and anxiety, all of those things are completely conditioned for the simple reason that if you go to different places on the earth, they'll have different shoulds, and then you should hear you bow and hear you shake hands and hear you bump fists. It's like all these shoulds and what it should look like and what do they think and whatever. All of that is just programming. So the relax for me in what you're saying is certainly to drop all of that. Mm-hmm. Because all of that's foisted upon us. And no matter who you are, wherever you are, that's foisted upon you about what life looks like. This is what a good life looks like. This is what a bad life looks like. This is what a good person looks like. This is what handsome is. This is what beautiful is. All of that can be let go of. That is all stifling.
Yeah.
That's the deconditioning Guruji. You were mentioning Guruji's been gifting us for so consistently. You know, you must decondition. Well, this is another, we're saying the same thing, but look how practical he is.
Yeah.
It's a couple of words and we say a whole.
Yeah.
It's six paragraphs.
yeah, absolutely. And also, go ahead. No, please. I just wanted to add that, like, play, fun. There's also the trap of like, ooh, everything that's also in the culture, like, oh, everything should be fun. And play doesn't mean that it has to be fun. Like, I can do things I don't like creatively and playfully. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be fun. Like, there are a whole lot of misconceptions about play, creativity, fun, art. They are just what they are. Like, a word just means what it means, that no conditions are necessary.
There's this beautiful quote from Swamiji later in that discourse, where he says more creative means more engaged. And you touched on a little bit on that earlier, but more, notice there's not a feeling associated with it. There's not a must, there's not a should. And everybody knows what more engaged means. So more creative means more engaged. And then he goes on to say, it's more risky. It's a more challenging way to live. And then he says, to approach the artwork that is this moment. Yeah. You are an artist. You are creating for real. Even the most regimented form of this of a spiritual path has all the room in the world for creativity. Your creativity, to a large degree, determines your way to move forward. You are absolutely responsible for how your life comes out. You are absolutely responsible for the creative nature of spiritual living. You're responsible for your individual brand of it. I like that because it's so right now, even though it's 2015. In 2015, people weren't quite saying brand yet, so he was ahead of his time. But it's your flavor. It's like this is what you are responsible for. That's why what you're saying, that responsibility isn't somehow removed. You're completely responsible. And play is much closer to the natural way that this, I mean, you get it in the trees in a breeze, you know. It's more like it's playful. I mean, look at how bees pollinate. They shake, they wiggle their butts in the air to communicate. I mean, if that's not playful, I don't know what is.
Yeah. And the more creative is more engaged in that. A bit further on or before, I don't know. Guruji says also, it's more challenging, like you just read. Because now you've made a commitment. You took your brush, you put your pencil on the canvas, and now you've made a commitment. That is also, more engagement is also very, it's alive. It's exciting.
It's alive. It's engaged, completely connected. It's engaged. Yeah. I mean, it's engaged. It's like, it's here it is. He also says the spiritual approach itself, the spiritual focus itself, is the creative approach. To advance spiritually, you must bring creativity in the mix. Your spiritual life is a work of art. Your spiritual life is your creative canvas.
Yes. And also, the creative process has a wide room for mistakes again and again and again. The canvas is always there. That sounds like, of course.
Truly open-minded and truly in the creative process, you don't even see them as mistakes. In other words, you see it's a mistake, but not in the sense of right and wrong. Oh, something's gone. No, it's just a mistake. A mistake means I turned left and now I was supposed to go right. Well, creatively, you can make a few more lefts and you'll eventually be going right.
Yeah.
Or you do a U-turn, or you get out of the car or whatever, or you have somebody else drive. It's life is, it's so alive that creativity is the right word. And we've diminished that aliveness to, again, I'm saying it for probably the fifth time, we've diminished that aliveness to creativity is for a limited amount of people, and it means this. It means hobbies. It means they like, hobby. No. It's far richer than that.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, the person who came up with a French press was creative.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody figured that out. Absolutely. Yeah, anything. Math, science, like that. It's impossible to cut out creativity. I actually want to hear about you, because we talked about the canvas, we talked about the paintbrush, we talked
that's
about
that's true. So that's true. So painting. I love, my favorite medium is painting, and Guruji actually defines we're talking about creativity and spirituality. That is what we're talking about. So then there's on top of that, there's art. And Guruji's actually defined art as well. And I'll just read that quote because it's brief and I love it very, very much. And then I'll tell you about a little bit about my story, which I think is hilarious. And I know you were there, but it's so at a satsang, Guruji had told me that I had become an artist. And my medium that I love the most is painting. So I'll tell that story in just a moment. So because I need to define what art is. So there's creativity. Creativity is absolutely everything and everyone. And you must understand and live your creativity. And for the spiritual path, it's a requirement. Art, on the other hand, is something that Guruji defines as the measure of real art. True art is always a window to the divine. Is always, if you're sensitive enough to perceive it, and even if you aren't, you can be affected by it. It's not a question of what you're aware of as much as what is the real effect. In all true art, all great art, is an opening toward the divine, an opening into what is. That, in that moment, transforms people, gives them expanded awareness to be able to make contact. If anything gives you that feeling, it is art, and it is great art. So I didn't know I was an artist. I have loved painting since I was a kid. I, as a teenager, painted a little bit, and then I didn't pick it up again until roughly about 2015, when this was just before this video was made, and I had painted, but I had hid it. I kept it all to myself. I didn't really let anybody know. It was just something. And then in 2019, again, I had a big outpouring of painting and creativity. And I was with Guruji and I was working on the computer and I was showing him something. And he said, and it was a picture of my art was on my screensaver. He said, "Hey, whose is that? What is this?" And I was like, oh that's one I painted. He's like, "You painted this?" He's like, "Yes." He goes, "Well, you're an artist. He was saying this particular piece had reached the level of art. I'm not a high artist where everything they produce, but there I'm a part of my creativity is that I paint, and part of there are times that my paintings reach the level of art, meaning they reach that window to the divine. So I have loved painting and creativity my entire life, but it wasn't until 2019 when Guruji said, "You're an artist, you've become an artist." And then I started going, "Wait a minute, Guruji, I've been working in the film industry for almost 25 years now, and I'm in the art department." I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, "Hey, all these years I've been in the art department, all these years, everything I do, the way that I love to problem solve and the way I approach problem solve, that is my living of creativity." And I was really living the society conditioning of an artist is somebody who paints all the time, or it's this level of quality. You know, so I very much hit it. You know, I didn't learn how to allow that creative expression out and be comfortable and okay with it. And the moment that Guruji saw that piece, and he said to me, I'll never forget, he said, "Where is this right now?" I said, "Oh, it's in my closet. You know, I had shoved all the pieces that I had made and you know, just kind of stacked them all on top of each other." He's like, no, you need to take this and go get it framed." And so that was the first art piece I had gotten framed. And then to embrace my spiritual path, which for me is absolutely involved not hiding, because there's an aspect of my life. And obviously, so Guruji also says how you live your life is your spiritual life. So that's how you're living your creativity. You're creating your life. You're creating your life. So how you live your life is your spiritual life. And how I was living my life is as somebody who was hiding. And so one of the things I was hiding was my art. And I would never call myself an artist. I would never look at myself an artist. But here, this is part of the blessing of having a guru, is now my guru has said you're an artist. What are you going to do? You're going to argue with that? You're going to make that a problem? It's often what we do. Yeah, yeah. But I immediately said, I took pieces. I got them framed. I met an incredible framer who is an artist. And I saw he's just a lover and an artist. And he makes your art even better. And once I got the pieces framed, I was like, oh, this is art. And so I immediately created a website and I immediately put up a few pieces for sale. And within a month, I had sold 15 pieces. And I just was in shock. And I'm like, what, your guru has explained it. You've been, you know, an artist for 20 years in the film. And you're literally all these things. But when people really, and then I just was talking to Guruji in his practical way. In his rich outpouring of love, I get so emotional just thinking about it because it's so simple. He's so brilliant, and he just said, "Are you aware of how many pieces Vincent van Gogh has sold?" He's, do you know how many pieces of art Vincent van Gogh has sold? And I just said, well, Guruji, I know the number is very low. Is it, you know, I knew it was very low. And he said it's zero. There's some debate whether his brother actually purchased a piece in order to give him money or not. But it's like one or zero. Mm-hmm. And Guruji just said zero. So you've sold more art than Vincent van Gogh. What are you worried about? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As soon as he said that, I just was like, oh, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
And then to go back to your point, Guruji said, don't make creating art a job. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. He said, you work too much. You have work figured out.
You
need things that are fun. So what's he also saying? You need play.
Yeah.
You need this to be play. So yeah. I have never made the art into something I'm approaching as career or something I'm trying to grow. Or so mm-hmm. I have a website, I've sold some pieces, and I have my art wall and I just let it be an avenue of just creativity. And it's true. One thing I know about the art that I'm engaged in is it's a response function, just like mm-hmm. you said. You just get out of the way and let it happen. Mm-hmm. And you might not like it. And I'll Shanti Dasa, who's a beloved guru, sister of ours, a friend of ours, we were painting together one, and I really didn't like what I was doing. And she just said so casually, well, just keep going till you do. And I never thought about it that way before. I was like, I really don't like this. She's like, well, just keep going till you like it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. And that was one of my favorite pieces. Who, by the way, Lokadev, I had another one during this incredible time of opening, and I'm like creating, and Guruji said, you're an artist, and all kinds, and now it's really coming out strong. And you're an artist, and your wife is an artist, and your son is an artist. Mm-hmm. And I really love and cherish our relationship, and I respect your guys' educated and living opinion. I mean, you've lived as artists for a long time, and I'll never forget when Loka, that piece that I didn't like, that Shanti Dasa said, keep going till you like it. I ended up really loving it. I had all this art around my house, and Loka said, I really think that your art is quite good. I think it's good. And this is before I ever sold a piece. And I think your art is good enough to sell. And I just was so moved and humbled by it. And I said to Loka, I said, you can have any piece you want. I said, the gift you've given me is so big. Please, anyone you want. And he responded with, well, I really like this one. He actually said, but I think it's your masterpiece and I don't think I should ask for that. Which was very, very sweet. And I said, Loka, let this be a life lesson. Somebody is offering whatever you want. Oh, yeah. You've identified what you want, so you should take it.
Yeah.
Don't take it. It's. I understand your respect, and I'm humbled by it, and I appreciate you. But I said, you should take whatever, you should take the one you want. You said, I want, this is the one I like the most, but I think it's too good. I think you should sell that one. And I'm just like, that's the one you should take. So he was the, the first four canvases ended. So I made two pieces. It was, one was a three canvas and one was a single canvas. So he selected the single canvas, and the triptych was a gift for a very good friend of mine. Incredible love and support. And he was wanting a piece of art, and I had just had this incredible inspiration. I made him, and I'll never forget him either. When he got that piece, he said, this looks like music. I see music when I look at this art. And I was like, oh, so that changed everything for me. I my whole mind opened because I was willing to come out of hiding and be available. And then these were, so what are those? One was a response from my great friend Parker, who's just an awesome dude, and one was from Loca Dev. So they're responding, and then I'm available to receive it. So that's it's a good example of the response to the art. And those pieces had reached the level of art. Not, they don't always do. I don't have the skill or the I'm not living painting as a so my art comes out in service of Ikoda and Swami Premadaya's work. But so one of the ways that I go through life, as you were saying, hey, everything's play. For me, I see patterns constantly. Like, I didn't know that other people didn't see. This is why it's so fun to talk to artists. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to talk to anyone because everybody has their own unique flavor. But so as I move through life, as my eyes are open and I'm visually looking around, I see color and pattern, mostly pattern and color. Like, I really see everything because everything is interconnected. And there's just times where I just see shapes, but the shapes are in the form of interconnected patterns. Like, mm-hmm. It's all there. And even the way that people move, it's all in patterns. Patterns are another form of shape. I mean, that's all you can see. That's all that exists are light, which color, patterns. Yeah. It's just color and patterns. That's all everything is.
Yeah.
So it's really fun for me. A lot of my artwork is just movement and patterns.
And then the painting itself is also about being in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. It's very, very spontaneous. Even when I have a plan in mind, and I have a very clear plan, it never happens. It's the way that I paint is completely spontaneous, and it's just a complete free form, and it just happens. And I'm often surprised by it, which is why the advice of keep going until you like it is good advice.
Also one of Guruji's quotes, you can't rehearse creativity.
If you're rehearsing, it's not creativity.
Even though in theater or in performance arts, there is rehearsal, but the rehearsal is to overcome the rehearsed, to go beyond whatever you rehearsed.
So. It's just like, I guess I keep going back to sports, but even in sports, you have plays or whatever, but you rehearse that so you can forget the structure. You know, jazz has a structure, right? Yeah. But it's so you can get to that alive moment. And that's a beautiful understanding of spiritual life. That's what practice is. You're practicing to shed all the structure so you can be alive in that moment. It's so the flowering can bloom.
Absolutely. And that gets us again to the first point when I heard it so much more clearly. Also, one of the quotes is, you are the artwork.
Yes.
What effect are you having? What are you adding? And also the individual element is the creative part. And I do know that whatever I learned and I'm still learning in my artistic practice is something that I can actually also use everywhere else.
Sure.
And what you said about not hiding what you were doing, you were also hiding your artwork.
I was hiding everything. I was hiding. Yeah. I was hiding myself. I was always relating and living behind a wall. And you know, I might peek out, but there was still a wall to everything. It's been about coming out of that from and getting rid of it entirely. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and actually, because Guruji in the last year, he has talked a lot about aliveness, about being real. And what I love to do the most, and where I have always been good at, is improvising. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's improvisation going on, it's just like heightened awareness, just being in the moment. And I always tended to not take that into life. Neither spiritual life. Well, there's only spiritual life. I just did not take that into life. It's again this reserved approach. It's like this is for when I'm doing that, and then I take that out. I shut that down when I'm doing something else. But now more and more, not working as an actor at the moment, because sometimes there are jobs, sometimes there are no jobs. Yeah. And now I do other jobs, and that involves just being around people, around children, like teaching children. It is so creative, like taking all the creativity, all the improvising. It's just, you just look into a child's eyes, and it's just like instant improvising. That is also because of Guruji stressing the fact, like, aliveness, be real, be alive, be real. And I really feel that ongoing push, and it actually means, now I translate it, it means, oh, improvise.
That's what you're engaged. So when you're engaged, yeah, it's like there is more awareness, there's more aliveness. Yeah. That's that engagement. Then the relating is spontaneous. So when you're saying improvising, that's a fine word, but it's the same thing as spontaneous. Then you're not looking for the condition. You're not responding, or reacting is probably a better word, from the conditioned place. You're responding and that response is coming from spontaneity. And so that feels like improv, kind of tells people, well, there's a scripted way to respond. But that's mm-hmm. true. It's like the conditioned is the scripted and the improv is the spontaneous, and the spontaneous is much more natural, much more real, has a much higher quality. And people tend to respond to that much more. And for mm-hmm. you, for us, for whoever, it tends to be much more pleasant. It's also that aliveness itself is like, you know, it's much more, you know, you're out of the stuckness of right and wrong and the all the dead ways that we're conditioned in. And it's responding from the spontaneous.
Yeah.
And that's part of trying to put that, you know, like he says, on the canvas of your life. And that for me is what I am painting from as well. So the painting is like, it's wild. It's very wild. It's very enjoyable. And I'm so, so thankful for Guruji, you know, pointing out what later became obvious. And that's what the guru often does, is later it becomes so obvious. It's like, oh, that was the case all along. But that's all the guru is ever doing. The guru is only showing you what's already the case. There's nothing being added here. It's just removing what's in the way so you can see what's actually the case. And part of this is so fun because part two of this episode, we're going to talk more about your performance art. I'll talk more about painting and how I operate. And we'll have a photographer, a dancer, and a musician on. So five people who have creativity is either their life or it's a massive part of their life. And, you know, these are artists that we'll very much look forward to relating to from our beloved Sangha. Our Sangha family, so that'll be fun.
And I just want to to this one quote, especially for you, Gurudev, also in this particular spiritual discourse, says you have to be Picasso all the time.
Yeah, he does. Whatever his personality issues are that people tend to report on, one thing is for sure, he was living the artist life, and his works of art are absolutely windows into the divine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The creative life is spiritual life.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay. I am very much looking forward to episode 2.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to start this conversation this way. We'll remind people that creativity and spirituality is a spiritual discourse from Swami Premadaya from the 7th of January, 2015, available completely free on mm-hmm. premadayatv.com.
And you can watch it again and again and again and always get something new. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. Just like we do.
Binge watch it every evening a couple of times.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay, my brother, I think that wrap takes us to the end of another Bhakti yes. Talk podcast.
I
love spending this time with you. I love sharing in these spiritual conversations. I love relating to you about in our chosen spiritual path with our beloved guru, Swami Premadaya. And why don't you take us out?
The Bhakti Talk podcast is presented by the International Centers of Divine Awakening. Find us on the iQOTA website, where you can also check out our calendar of upcoming spiritual events and transformational programs and get access to a free spiritual wisdom library of over 650 full-length recordings from Swami Premadaya's wisdom work. Visit i-coda.org. Thank you for listening. We give gratitude to you and honor your spiritual path. Thank you to our beloved Sangha for your support, and a most ecstatic thank you to our beloved guru, Swami Premadaya. Your wisdom, ways, and practices continue to be the transformational light on the spiritual path. Jai Jai, Swami Premadaya. Jai Jai.